So nice to be here in God's presence this evening. Amazing worship. And I'd like to continue worshiping the Lord. Gerald told me to come after prayer. I was just worshiping the Lord. I was telling several other people. Last week was a life-changing week for me. To see so many people there. Who we can relate to, share gospel with, love, and continue our relationship with. And the other side of it is a mobilized church. A lot of volunteers. The whole church taking part. Things were just flowing like a choir rhythm. You know, people were coming. They were registered and they were just going to different places. And it's an amazing experience. What would happen if we all function like this the whole year? Maybe in next 5 years. We will do what we can. That is, go out in the field, sweat, and make an effort to share gospel with others. And God will do what we cannot. We cannot change and transform these people. But we can do what we can or what we are commanded to do. And God will do what we cannot. That is bringing people to himself. And the team presented to us goes very well with what we discussed last week and what we are going to discuss today. And we have started a series on the Holy Spirit. Last week, we read several passages, but Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 11 was what we discussed. We highlighted 3 points. I would like to bring those 3 points to our attention today. The arrival of the Holy Spirit inaugurated the church. Jesus sending Holy Spirit marked the inauguration of Jesus' reign in this world. The sending of the Holy Spirit was to empower the followers of Jesus Christ to fulfill Acts 1:8. You may ask, what is Acts 1:8? Acts 1:8 goes like this. You will receive power and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and uttermost part of the world. Until Jesus was teaching his disciples, just before he ascended to heaven, disciples were curious to find out when he was going to establish the kingdom. They wanted to find out what their responsibilities were. And they also wanted to experience some kind of power by sitting on the right hand of Jesus and left hand of Jesus. But Jesus said, Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will be given your responsibility. That is, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and uttermost part of the world. You and me, who have the Holy Spirit, who is fully living in us, who is fully active in us individually and collectively, and it is up to us to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and uttermost part of the world. And we see in book of Acts, there is a pattern. Until chapter 6, they were not going out. They were congregating in Jerusalem. But God had to do something through Stephen. By his death, they got scattered. We don't want that experience. We don't want anyone going through any persecution. God coming and twisting our hand and sending us out. Instead, you look at our backyard. That song that was played along with the clips is amazing. This city has hundreds and thousands of souls still to be claimed for our Lord Jesus Christ. And you and me have to make step of faith and go forward and share gospel with them. And as everyone was working, sharing with children, I was talking to older people. There was a man by name Kulkarni. He has come from Hyderabad to Dallas. And he asked me, your name is Subhash. That means you are not born in a Christian family. How did you change your religion? That gave me an opportunity to share gospel with him. And he was disturbed a little bit. But, he continued listening. And, as I was leaving, he was not very happy. But after we shared the gospel the last time, on Friday, last minute, and he came and he said, thank you very much for sharing this one. This is what he said. I thought there are so many ways to God, but now I understand there is only one way. But you know, I don't know whether he gave his life to Christ or not. He didn't give me an opportunity to talk to him. But this is what he said. There was another lady. She has gone back to India, or she has gone back to Boston, and from there she would fly back to India. She was kind of in tears. Every evening when we went and shared, talked to us about India and life in Boston, life in Dallas, she was very happy. You know, she said, I teach yoga and I'm, you know, into all this new age. And she was talking about several PowerPoints in the body. And after hearing the gospel, she came and she said she was going through a crisis. You know, you would not be able to tell that, you know, she was going through a crisis. And this girl, this lady from Chennai, it is called Madras, and she said her daughter was going through difficulty, and she said, would you please pray? And she said she was not going anywhere else except to Jesus. And that VBS opened up opportunity for us to share. All we need to do is be out there as Jesus' feet, hand, his mouthpiece, and he will do his work. We have to be available to him. You know, before I go into today's discussion, I would say today's lesson on the Holy Spirit, I'd like to make a few announcements. There are some cards. If you are visiting for the first time, please take a minute and just fill your information and put it in those two boxes. 2 weeks back, a person asked me, why are you not passing the plate? And we have made it a point that we don't pass the plate here, at least for some time. And we would encourage everyone to support our ministry out of your heart or your willingness. We don't teach here tithe, but we believe giving to the Lord out of love for him. It is called grace giving. If you feel that God is working here and you can participate in the mission, vision of this church, you can contribute, you can write your check to Crossroad and put it in those boxes. And if you're just visiting for the first time or second time, you know, you don't need to give. But if you feel that you believe in what we are doing, you can write your check and put it in those two boxes. And we will really appreciate to make this ministry move forward. We need a lot of money. We believe God owns the heaven and earth. And his work will never suffer for want of money. But the only thing, you and me can have a role or a privilege of participating in God's work by contributing our time, our talents, and our resources. There are other announcements. Next Saturday, we will have women's meeting just after the worship service. So those of you who are part of women's meeting, please be prepared for your discussion. I think Carrie will, maybe if you want the topic, she will talk to you after the meeting. And our regular meetings are going on, and please visit our websites. If you missed any of our sermons, you can go to the website. Website is, it carries our outline, video and audio. Everything is there. Announcement happens in the website. And if you have any prayer request, suddenly you want someone to know about certain things, you can go to the website and you can just write to us. We will get it immediately. So we love you all so much, and we will now look at the passage. Last week we saw Holy Spirit of God came upon the disciples on the day of Pentecost. And our question was, why should Holy Spirit come on the day of Pentecost? He could have come on a different day. We looked at the importance of it, and we saw the church began on the day of Pentecost, and also on the day of Pentecost, by the coming of the Holy Spirit, disciples were empowered to be Jesus' disciples to the world. And we are here today because of the coming of the Holy Spirit on the disciples on the day of Pentecost, and because of their obedience to Acts 1:8. And today we will ask the question, who is the Holy Spirit? In a lot of time, whenever we discuss about Holy Spirit, we suddenly go into the gifts. And we will not be able to talk about Holy Spirit more than 2 minutes. For your information, today is going to be the longest discussion. I'm going to take time until maybe 6:20, and we will just look at several scripture and understand our subject really well. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is God himself. For some of you, this may be a revelation or a new information. Holy Spirit is God himself. Several people think Holy Spirit is an energy, or Holy Spirit is like a liquid. He goes down and hits the rock bottom, then you just pour him a little bit more, and he goes up, then goes down. But we don't have any reference in the Bible like that. Holy Spirit is not liquid, he is not an energy, but he is a person. He is a complete person, just like Father and the Son. Holy Spirit is a person. We will study a little bit more about Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit existed before everything else came to be, or before everything else existed. In other words, he is pre-existent and uncreated. We don't read anywhere in the scripture that he was created. We see the moon, stars, animals, and everything that is there in this world were created, but Holy Spirit was not created. According to Genesis 1:2, on the first day, this is what we read: in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the deep. That means Holy Spirit existed even before everything came into being. He is pre-existent and uncreated. One of the three in Godhead. We read about the Father, we read about the Son, and we read about the Holy Spirit, not in isolation or away from the Father, but always in connection with Father and the Son. We read in Matthew 3:16 like this: as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on them, or descending on him. A voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased." In this place we see all three of them. So Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead. The Holy Spirit is neither inferior to the Father, nor separated from the Father. We read in John 14:16-26, Jesus says, "I'm going to the Father, and I will ask him to send the Holy Spirit." That means, you know, Father is there, Holy Spirit is there, Son is there, they are together, and Holy Spirit is neither inferior to the Father or to the Son. And he is not separated from the Father, he is part of the Father and he is part of the Son, the triune God. And we have the reference in several other places. In Acts 2:17, this is what we read: Jesus sat at the right hand of the Father. He received the Holy Spirit from the Father and sent him upon the 12 disciples. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, we see, Paul gives a benediction. He says, "Love of God, grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and fellowship of the Holy Spirit." We see all of them. You know, from Genesis to Revelation, in history, we see all three work in unity or in cooperation. Father does something, Son does something, Holy Spirit does something. All of them are part of Godhead. We'll study a little bit more about Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is all-knowing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 to 11, we read like this: God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is all-knowing. Whenever we talk about Father, we say he is all-knowing, omniscient. That is another word. But Holy Spirit is all-knowing. In Psalm 139:7-11, we read like this. Sometime we even cite this one: "Where shall I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. Holy Spirit is present everywhere. He is, first one we saw, he is omniscient. Here he is omnipresent. He is eternal. Book of Hebrews chapter 9 verse 14. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God. Jesus Christ offered himself to the Father through the eternal Spirit. We will just list some of the things about the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is pre-existent and uncreated. Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead. He is one of the three. That is Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. He is all-knowing. And he is present everywhere. And he is eternal. That means he is God. Then you may ask, several other questions. We'll see. Just as the Father and the Son have been active, the Holy Spirit has been active in history. He was active in creation. He is active in Revelation. 2 Peter chapter 2, chapter 1 verse 20 to 21, this is what we read. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation, for prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. You see, in history, Holy Spirit comes upon people and they prophesy. They just take them back to the Word of God, to the first five books, and they would give them contemporary interpretation. The Holy Spirit was active in history. In Book of Judges we see there would be a crisis. Holy Spirit of God would come upon people and they would just give leadership. We see in Jeremiah, Holy Spirit of God came and spoke to people everywhere in the Old Testament, the New Testament. So just as the Father and the Son have been active in history, the Holy Spirit has been active in history. He was involved in creation, and he is involved in the revelation, and he was involved in the special missions. When Moses had the blueprint from God to build the tabernacle, and he was saying, "You gave me the blueprint, how am I going to do it?" God said, "I will provide you the power." This is what I believe. When God tells you something, if you are in God's mission, he wants you to do his work with his power, with his resources, and the way he wants you to do. And he commanded Moses, "Moses, this is what I want you to do." And he said, "I will provide you with people." And he called a person by name Bezalel, and he was endowed with the ability to build the tabernacle in a way, God was so pleased. It's almost like a replica of the presence of God, a physical presence of God. And that was done when the Holy Spirit of God came upon Bezalel. That is that we read in Exodus chapter 35, verse 30 to 31. And in the ministry of Jesus, when Jesus came out of the water, Holy Spirit descended on him. And everything Jesus did was through the power of the Holy Spirit. That is what we read. In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus says, "Everything will be forgiven except the sins against the Holy Spirit, because I am casting out demons, I am healing people by the power of the Holy Spirit, or by the agency of the Holy Spirit." So, Holy Spirit, just as the Father and the Son have been active in history, he has been active in history, in creation, in special missions, in the ministry of Jesus, in speaking to people. And you may ask the question, then what does he do now? He came on the disciples on the day of Pentecost, and he continues to guide the church through his leadership and through his power. And the Holy Spirit has not gone away from us. He is, whenever we come together, he is here. And without him, there is no church. We can have songs, we can have several activities, but Holy Spirit makes us the church, the dwelling place of God. And what does he do now? He continues the salvation plan that God had when he created the world. He continues the salvation plan which God had when he created the world. When he called Abraham, when he called Moses, when he called David, when he called other people, when the salvation plan that was there in the Old Testament, the salvation plan that was, given to us through Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit of God continues it. Where do we read that? Please look at John chapter 14 to 16. You see that. Jesus says, I am going to go away, but you are not going to be an orphan here, but I will send you my comforter, and he will guide you into all the truth, and he will tell you what you need to do. In other words, he will help you recollect the teachings of Jesus, and he will lead you into the truth. He will help you to stand before judgment, the worldly judgment, and he will give you utterance to defend your faith. And he will give you your faith, in the sense he will strengthen your faith. In other words, Holy Spirit of God continues God's salvation plan today. He internalizes Jesus Christ in others. We looked at 520 children in the slide. On the last day, we had 520 children registered. Can you believe this? This is amazing. And I'm amazed, all happened in less than 1 mile distance. A road that starts from MacArthur Boulevard, it goes like a U shape, and it stops at Hidden Ridge. If 520 children come from one street, how many more will be there in other places? And we did all of them. But we cannot force Jesus Christ upon them. But it is the work of the Holy Spirit. You know, we read, I did my dissertation on the dreams of Matthew 1 and 2. And one passage that speaks to me so much is Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 20. Joseph gets a dream. And Joseph says, how can this happen? And angel says, when the Holy Spirit comes upon, or when Holy Spirit comes upon Mary, that, you know, I'm just paraphrasing it, Jesus will be conceived in Mary's womb. That is true even today. If Subhash was saved in 1983, it is not my intellect, it is not my desire, it is the work of the Holy Spirit who made Jesus Christ be born in my heart. And it is true in you and in others. Some of them are already in the church, and a lot of them are still not in the church, but it is the Holy Spirit who will make Jesus be born in their hearts. So what is Holy Spirit doing today? He is continuing the salvation plan God had when he created the world, and he is still making Jesus be born in the hearts of people. And he leads believers into the whole truth, which we see in John 14 to 16 and several other places, even in 1 Timothy chapter 4. He strengthens the inner man. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 to 22, an amazing passage, we say, you know, Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus, or Holy Spirit, strengthens our inner man when we are discouraged, when we are tossed to and fro. It is the Holy Spirit of God who comes and encourages and strengthens us by sending a song, or by sending a word, or sending a brother, or in a supernatural way, he will just strengthen us. And Holy Spirit of God helps in spreading the gospel and decision making. In Acts chapter 13, when few disciples were praying in church at Antioch, Holy Spirit of God told them, you set aside Paul, Barnabas and John Mark to go and preach my word in the Western world. We know the history of that. They went to Cyprus, they went to Turkey, and after that, the church started spreading. It is not Paul and Barnabas and John Mark who did it, it is the Holy Spirit of God who was guiding them. As they were going, we read in Acts chapter 16, you know, Paul wanted to go to Eastern Europe, but the Spirit of God restrained him and took him to Macedonia. It is the work of God. Whenever we talk about Holy Spirit, there has to be a mission. There has to be evangelism. There has to be expansion of the gospel. Whenever they wanted to make a decision, the Holy Spirit was there. We read in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 13, Holy Spirit of God gives ability to make decision. Jesus tells in Matthew 18, when two or three gather in my name, I am present among you. Jesus is present among us in the form of Holy Spirit, who we cannot see, but he works in our mind to give us kind of consensus and also wisdom to go in the right direction. Holy Spirit of God produces fruit in the lives of believers. This is a very important topic. We will be discussing this one sometime later. As I told you, what we are discussing today is a long lesson. Probably we should have done it maybe 3 or 4 classes, but it's fine. Holy Spirit of God produces fruit in the lives of believers. We cannot produce fruit in our lives. We can fake it. I can say, Gerald, I love you so much. Sean, I love you so much. I can fake for some time, but it will not last. I can say, I have a lot of peace. And I go and say, it's the fruit of the Spirit. Or I can say, I have faithfulness. And, unless it is from the Lord, it will not stay longer. But if it is from the Lord, it will stay longer, it will be effective, and fruit always happens in relation to other person. It says, if I say I'm love, I have the fruit of love in me. If I'm not able to love, then I don't have that fruit. Same thing with other fruit. All the list of the things, it is always in relation to other person. The work of the Holy Spirit, one of the work of the Holy Spirit is to produce fruit in the lives of believers, which we read in Galatians. There are 9 listed there. There may be a lot more. And, we have a word baptism. The word baptism is a highly misunderstood word. Say, Holy Spirit will baptize you. And sometimes we say, Lord, you baptize me in the Holy Spirit. Here's already done it. There are several passages talk about it. I'll just highlight 1 or 2 passages here. Mark 1:8, what John the Baptist says. John the Baptist looks at a group of people who had come to River Jordan, and he says, who told you to come here? I'm going to baptize you for the baptism, I'm going to give you baptism of repentance. That means whatever you did as kind of unrighteousness against the law, when you go through this baptism, probably that will be forgiven. But there is someone coming after me. He is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. He is comparing what he was doing at the time and what Jesus was going to do. In other words, he said, my baptism or my forgiveness is time limited, but what Jesus is going to give you is eschatological or permanent. It is something like this. The Holy Spirit of God offers eschatological forgiveness to those who believe in Jesus Christ, which we read in Mark 1 and Acts 1:5. In other words, I am baptizing you now, but it is not going to last forever. But the one who comes after me is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. In other words, he is going to forgive you, and that forgiveness is not time limited, it is not context limited, it is forever. Past, present and future. That is the word baptism there. It is not something like Holy Spirit, like a liquid coming upon our head again and again going through it. There are several other things we can talk about what Holy Spirit does today. But the most important one is in chapter 8 of Book of Romans. I'll read a few verses here in chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, verses beginning from 9. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, Paul talks about Holy Spirit here. This is where we study about sanctification. one of the most important works of the Holy Spirit is in our sanctification. We don't know how to love. Holy Spirit helps us. We don't know how to pray. He helps us to pray. Even when we are not praying, He's interceding for us. And He guides us into truth. And He gives us the spirit of victory. He gives us the spirit of child, you know, son. You know, the spirit of son, not spirit of orphan. He does so many things. That, in other words, He is working in our sanctification. So, you know, whenever we talk about Holy Spirit, we have to see who is the Holy Spirit. And what is He doing today? He is actively working collectively. That is what we did. You know, we came together to worship. Even through our worship, sanctification was taking place. When we are driving all by ourselves, sanctification is taking place. In other words, Holy Spirit is working in our lives and helping us to become like Jesus. Sometimes we may ask, I became a believer 23 years back. Why have I not become like Jesus? We have to ask the question, how does the Holy Spirit deal with us today? You see, you know, I should have, for the last 23 years, by now I should have become like Jesus, exactly like Jesus going around. But I'm just what I am. I have not changed much. We cannot put the blame on the Holy Spirit. You know, we have to put the blame on our flesh. In other words, we have to blame ourselves. The Holy Spirit does not overpower our personality. You know, we have the power, or we have the power even to grieve the Holy Spirit, lie to the Holy Spirit, and, you know, keep Him just inside of our life, not consulting Him. And that is what happening in most of our Christian lives. If we are not sanctified sufficiently or adequately, it is not the Holy Spirit not working in us. It is because we have grieved Him, or we have put Him in a small place. We have emphasized so many other unwanted things, not giving freedom to the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. Holy Spirit does not overpower our personality. If I am an angry man, Holy Spirit, the minute I become a believer, doesn't mean my anger vanishes. If I am prone for lust of my eyes, I cannot expect Holy Spirit come and supernaturally control my lust. You know, He doesn't work in our lives unless we give permission to Him. Otherwise, we become robots. You know, when we become believers, we have not become robots. When we become believers, we have not given up our personality. We have our personality 100%. When Holy Spirit comes to our life, when He enters into our life, He respects our personality. But He works in us as we provide an environment for Him. If we tell Him, Holy Spirit, you know, you help me in this area, or you have the freedom to make changes in our life, in my life. You know, I'm really angry. I don't know how to control my anger. Help me in this. Or I am so much lustful. I'm not able to control my lust. Help me. Maybe the Holy Spirit will come and help us out. Not immediately removing it, but it is a process, as we read in Romans chapter 8. One can stifle the work of the Holy Spirit both personally and corporately. In a church, church can be very big, but Holy Spirit can be completely stifled. We can have a lot of songs, and we can have amazing sermons. We can have all the gadgets we think of, but still Holy Spirit can be stifled. He will not have freedom corporately and personally. We read that in Acts chapter 5, verse 1 to 11. Ananias and Sapphira, they did not know that Holy Spirit is omniscient. They brought a portion of money they wanted to give to the Lord, and they told a lie. And we know the story after that. One can offer the Holy Spirit a complete freedom, which is called filled by the Holy Spirit. This is, maybe we can dwell a little bit here. Holy Spirit doesn't affect, you know, doesn't take away our personality, but He works around our personality. He doesn't make us a robot, but He helps us in our activities and lead us as, you know, into the sanctification process or holiness process. For this, we use something called being filled by the Holy Spirit. This is one of the most misunderstood and most abused phrase or word, being filled by the Holy Spirit. I wish I had brought a bottle of water and a cup. Holy Spirit cannot be just filled like this. Lack of words, they have used the word being filled by Holy Spirit. Or some people say, oh, I'm feeling so tired, I need to be filled by Holy Spirit. Just go and wait and get filled. And afterwards, again, you know, Holy Spirit depletes and go back and fill Him. That is not the word. Whenever the word filled is used, it is controlled. When Holy Spirit came upon the disciples in Acts chapter 2, He did not fill them, but He controlled them. Controlled their mind, their stomach, their leg, their body, everywhere. Whatever they saw, whatever they did, whatever they thought, all of them were controlled. Their entire faculty was controlled by the Holy Spirit. That is called be filled by the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18, we read about this one. Paul says, do not be influenced by wine, because in Ephesus, there was a god for wine. And he's not using the word the god for wine. Instead, he's saying, do not be influenced by this god, by drinking wine. Instead, be filled by the Holy Spirit. When he said, be filled by the Holy Spirit, he's not saying, you just pour Holy Spirit. In other words, he's saying, you be under the control. You come under the control of the Holy Spirit. As a result of that, you will be singing songs, spiritual hymns, and you will be joyful, and you will be submitting to one another. And we have a long passage after that. We say, wives, be submissive to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. And we go down, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Servants, you obey your master. Masters, don't ill-treat them. All of them are connected to Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18. That is being filled by the Holy Spirit. Being filled by the Holy Spirit is coming under the grip or influence of the Holy Spirit. When He controls our life is characterized by joy, which reflects in our singing and singing songs and spiritual hymns. And be joyful with one another. And, you know, we will be relating so well at home and in our workplace. Why? Because we are controlled by the Holy Spirit. You know, that passage is so powerful. For my wedding, a speaker from Canada spoke from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. But that passage doesn't start from 21. That starts from 5:18. You cannot be submissive to your husband unless you are filled by the Holy Spirit. You cannot love your wife as Christ loves the church unless you are filled by the Holy Spirit. As children, you cannot obey your parents in the Lord unless you are filled by the Holy Spirit. Servants, you cannot serve your master as unto the Lord unless you come under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Masters, you will not ill-treat your servants unless you are filled by the Holy Spirit. So whenever we use the term filled by the Holy Spirit, we should have a conceptual change in our mind. We are not talking about Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit in terms of energy or a liquid, but as a person who is looking forward to take control of our life so that our life will be pleasing unto the Lord. By our obedience, by our relationship, by our service, and how we relate at home and in our workplace. Even today, Holy Spirit is looking forward to take control of our life. It is one thing to give our life to Christ and be saved, and another thing is to let Holy Spirit control our lives. A lot of time, we like to control our time, we like to control our money, we like to control our family, all of them are there. But it is possible that Holy Spirit can take control of all of them. And we will in that way bring glory, honor and praises to our God. That is the goal of being filled by the Holy Spirit. It is not necessarily going into a kind of religious experience or some kind of experience, all of them probably secondary or less important. The most important one for Holy Spirit to have control over our life is that we will lead a life that is worthy of the gospel. So you may ask, what is the takeaway for today? The takeaway for today is be filled continuously by the Holy Spirit. Be filled continuously by the Holy Spirit. What I'm saying here is give your life to the control of the Holy Spirit. Let Him control your life. Is it possible? You know, in the Bible, we don't have that step. Step one, step two, step three. It would have been easier how I can be filled. But we have only to look at the Bible, how we can be filled by the Holy Spirit. Jesus says in John chapter 7, verse 37, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water flow from within him. I think that is very important. When I was in a pastor's conference, there was a testimony. This person suddenly had cancer. And the whole church was praying for him. The whole church was praying for a big facility, church facility. They said, we want a big building because our church has grown into 10,000. We need a lot of money. And they started praying. And this gentleman, who is their senior pastor, he said, no, we are not going to pray for the property. We are going to pray for Jesus. I felt that is something, that is the only thing I learned from this whole retreat, is we need to ask for Jesus. Not for property, not for peace, not for faithfulness. All of them will just follow Jesus. What we need is Jesus. How can we be filled by the Holy Spirit is when we start seeking Jesus afresh. Jesus said, I am, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And streams of living water will flow from him. Seek Jesus. You know, that is what we read in Old Testament. Come to me. A lot of you have gone to a broken cistern. You know, when Janet and I were in Israel, we went to a well. The well was dug, and in the next place, close to the dug well, there was another cistern that was broken. They had kept there. You pour water in the broken cistern, water just goes out. It doesn't stay there. And a lot of us are like that. We have become broken cistern, and we go and search water in a place where we cannot get water. As a result, we are going from one experience to another experience, one speaker to another speaker, you know, one place to another place. Still, we are not able to be satisfied, but we need Jesus. You know, we can ask Jesus, Lord, come to me. I want more of you. I love that song that we sang. Want more of you, Lord. As we are seek after him, more than money, more than education, more than the comforts of this world, if we ask Jesus more and more and more, his streams of water will just swell in us. When we go to other places, we will be able to give Jesus more. We can just take Jesus. Take Jesus. We will be able to just bless people left and right, not necessarily with our money and material and our education and our other things, but we will be able to bless people with our Lord Jesus Christ. And how can we be filled by the Holy Spirit? Second one, by looking at the scripture. It is not going and sitting in a place or it is all those things are important. But we have to go to the scripture and inform us what the scripture teaches us. Sometime, you know, when you hear me, I may have an agenda. Or when you hear other people, they have an agenda. But we have to go to the Bible and read and ask the Lord, what do you talk about this one? How can I learn about Holy Spirit? How can I learn about Jesus Christ? You know, how can I come close to you? Sometime back, we had a series on the spiritual discipline. There we saw reading scripture and memorization is very, very important. I talked to my daughter last night and even today I told her, next 1 month, if you can memorize one Bible verse every day, you will get $5 for each Bible verse, because in that way she will have so much Bible verse in her mind. You know, as you memorize your Bible verse and understand, meditate on God's word, streams of water will just swell out of you. You know, you will be filled by the Holy Spirit. That is what we read in Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who meditates on his word day and night. He will be like a tree planted by water. You know, whether it is summer or winter, that tree will be green and it will bring forth fruit all the season in abundance. The third one, how can you be filled by the Holy Spirit? Is to have association with the right group of people. Right local church, where Christ is at the center, where scripture is the guidelines, nothing else, and the people who fear the Lord and who want to worship the Lord. These three things are absolute important ingredients for us being filled in the Holy Spirit. Seeking Jesus more and more. Understanding about God, Holy Spirit, church, and us from the scripture. And the third one is having a proper fellowship, whether it is a small one or a big one. Whether we meet at home or a big place. And I saw several people. They said, why are you going there? They said, I'm going there because it's a big facility. My children will have a good facility to play around. And there are a lot of educated people. There are a lot of rich people. That is why I'm going. These are the values of people who don't care about being filled by the Holy Spirit. If we care about the Holy Spirit, if we are choosing a local congregation, we will say, is Christ at the center? Is the word of God the guiding principle? Are the people worshiping community? Then I will be part of it. May God bless us. And next week, we will have the last of this series on Holy Spirit. We will be talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And also, we will iron out some of the things that we misunderstood. And also, we will present to you what Crossroad believes about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Until then, these words, keep thinking about these words, who the Holy Spirit is. He's God himself, and he's actively working in our lives.